Diana Henry witnesses history. And with her talent and her cameras, she shares that witnessing with us. She's captured images from around the world for decades, including her job as the official photographer for the 1977 Women's Conference in Houston. She'll share part of her knowledge of photography with the Photographic Society of Northwest Arkansas's Distinguished Photographer Series, virtually, tomorrow night beginning at 7. In advance of tomorrow night's talk, we reached her Friday afternoon to ask her about her art and her career. Our conversation began with a photograph of hers of a famous Arkansan, Bill Clinton, taken years before he was famous.
Well, a good photojournalist doesn't just photograph what's the event or the celebrity. You know, they turn around and look at other what's going on behind them and around them. So right near me was this young man with his mouth open. And I thought that he really, you know, he really tells the story of our grassroots campaign for McGovern. And, you know, the hope of the young at that time. And so I took a picture, and I took two, actually, I think. And then years later, someone was researching for a film about Shirley Chisholm, and they were looking through my contact sheets, and they said, "That's Bill Clinton." And I'm like, "Nah." And she's like, "Yeah." So we went around on that, and finally, I sent a photocopy to Bill Clinton, who was by that time at his office in Harlem. And I got a call back from a very young young woman, aide. I wasn't surprised. And she said, "Yeah, it's he, and he will sign it for you," because I had asked if he would sign it. And so I sent a print for him to sign and keep, or a print for him to keep, and a print for me, and I got one back signed, so that was really nice.
What I love about not just that photograph, but all the photographs of yours I've seen, is it shows that, yes, you can take pictures of things that you know are history, but everything you photograph is history.
Absolutely. I truly believe, and I speak to college audiences, and the some of the students have come up to me afterwards and they've said, "You know, through your photographs, I realize that we make a difference, even if we just go to an event, you know, even just being there, even by, you know, our, you know, we're important too." And I think that's a wonderful thing for me to have been able to convey in my photographs, because I always did photograph the help at events, you know, the waiters and waitresses and the people in attendance, because we're all one in what we're doing. So.
And what's interesting.
Thank you for noticing that.
Well, and what I also love about these photographs, not too long ago, I was looking through some old photographs of my family at Christmas. And while the focus was on, you know, my brothers and I under the Christmas tree, my eyes started going to, well, what's the cover of that Life magazine on the coffee table behind us? It's the ephemera around, too, that helps shape what's going on.
Right. And that's something that I did as a photographer also, is when I went to these events, I always picked up the press releases and the flyers and the, you know, things that have fallen on the floor. And so I have a lot of ephemera, the invitations that were sent, and so the ephemera is really an important part of the story, too, as you say.
When you began, and when you were at the Democratic Convention in 1972, or the women's event in Houston in 1977, you're, of course, shooting film. So it wasn't like today where you could just take a phone and get as many images as you want without concern about whether it worked or not. I wonder what that was like. I mean, how much supply did you have with you at any one event, and did you have to self-edit while you were photographing?
Well, so two great questions. The first one, the equipment, of course, I had usually two cameras, either with one with a longer lens and one with a wide angle, or one camera with black and white and one with color, or sometimes three, you know, one with a, you know, larger negative. size. And I have a sort of broken shoulder to show for it now because I wore my shoulder out with, the camera bag. But the other question about editing your photographs right away, no, we couldn't do that with film. And I think that that's a very precious part of the film medium, was that you couldn't destroy or discard the photographs right away. And I think often the photographs that we think are not interesting are later, valuable. And for someone who's learning photography, especially, to look at all their work, and they may have an idea in their mind of what appeals to other people, but it's only by looking at all your work that you can see what is truly yours and what is your style. And if you keep discarding things right away, you won't ever get that feedback and that ability to grow with photographs. So years later, I look at my photographs again and I say, oh, well, there's Bill Clinton. Or, there's Jacques-Henri Lartigue, who I didn't know at the time. So, how do you, we live in this sort of instant discard society, and it's very, it's culturally, it makes a big difference, I think, and it's going to make a difference historically.
Did you ever develop your own film? Would you go into the dark
room? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I developed all my own black and white, printed enormous quantities of prints, so I still have thousands of prints. Most of my collection is at UMass Amherst now, but I'm looking for some place for all of the thousands of other prints that I have. I love to print. So I printed at night, often in New York City with the windows open when it was dark, sometimes watching TV with a red filter over the black and white TV screen, watching I Love Lucy or listening to Pacifica Radio. And I developed my film in my kitchen and hung it up in the bathroom and washed my prints in the bathtub. At the Democratic Convention, I took my whole darkroom down to Miami Beach, enlargers and film tanks and chemicals and a red light bulb to screw into the socket so I could turn the bathroom into a darkroom.
Don't you think if someone is a photographer and they've never had that experience of seeing the image begin to develop while it's in that basin or that tub,
yes,
that's something that's lost. I just think there's a sort of, and maybe I'm overly nostalgic, but there's a sort of magic when you see
there that. There is a magic. Yeah. That was the word I was going to use. absolutely. A magic to watching the image develop, a magic to being able to reprint it and try to dodge and burn. I mean, now you can do that with Photoshop, but to actually have the hands-on experience of, moving your fingers and your hands around under the light to bring out some of the areas of the photograph. It's a very, I don't know how people really learn the art today.
Yeah. I want to ask you about the Women's Conference in 1977. I was 14 when that was happening. I was watching NBC Nightly News cover it with my mother, who had been born. Yes. She was born in 1932, and we were watching that with rapt attention.
Isn't that great?
Oh, yes.
Well, congrats to you and Mom for...
and just, we had a sense, and I'm sure I got it from her, watching with her, that this was monumental.
Absolutely.
What was it? Was that the feeling that you had in Houston at that time?
Yes. It was the feeling I had before, during, and after the conference. I felt Gloria Steinem put it very, very well later on. She said, people measure their lives and their time in history by events. And, what you think about what came before, what was I doing before this event and what did I do after? And this event was one of those events. It was it was an event that you measure your life by.
When this is happening, and there are contemporary figures who are so important, Betty Friedan and Gloria Steinem and Shirley Chisholm and Billie Jean King.
Yeah.
Does it change for you when you put your eye up to the camera and you're taking photographs? I mean, do you have to pivot at all? I mean, you're experiencing it, but you're also doing a job?
Yeah, my job, what I considered my job, well, I was working for the State Department, and I signed an agreement with them as an independent contractor so I could retain my copyright, which was very important and remains so. But besides my assignment, and I really was photographing for Bella Abzug. She's the one who had asked me to do it. My self-assignment was to honor the people I photographed. And that really was my point of view in all of my work. You know, as they say, namaste, you know, right. To honor the spirit within the people that I was photographing. So in my photographs, I tried to do that. And so it didn't matter who they were. I mean, whether I knew them or not. But yeah, respect, dignity, very important to me. And hopefully it's made a difference in how, you know, when people see the photographs, they say, oh, your photographs are iconic, you know, and it's like, we've seen your photographs. And I'm like, well, maybe you haven't, you know, but they represent something about the people that captures, I think, what, you know, why these women have an enduring influence in our lives.
I love an image that you captured. There's a sign that says, raises, not roses. I just love that.
Yeah, that's a little bit later on. That was at the time of the film 9 to 5.
Right.
And Jane Fonda was marketing her film, actually. So I have pictures of her speaking to the Women Office Workers Convention. And Raises, Not Roses was the banner on the huge ballroom at the Roosevelt Hotel in New York City that where the women office workers had assembled. And yeah, there was a lot of passion in the room, but it was also fueled by Jane Fonda's marketing talents and celebrity status.
Speaking of,
when you know where these things come from, it's hard to not see all sides of the picture. Well, and, you know, I have some very glamorous pictures of her with Tom Hayden, you know, her husband, and social justice, you know, is a good thing, but so is dressing up and going to, going to celebrity fundraisers. So.
Well, that helps inform you be a better journalist, right? If you can see things from many different sides and see what they are.
Yeah. And I mean, I tell people, photographers write history too. And
absolutely.
That's what I wanted to do. I went to those events that I thought would be important and significant for history. And very often I didn't have an assignment. And sometimes I was the only photographer there, such as at the demonstration at the New York Times to try to get them to use the term Ms. In 1974, it was already in the dictionary. And the Times didn't adopt the term Ms. until 1986. You know, so.
And you were the only photographer at that demonstration?
I believe I was.
Then we would have no images if you hadn't gone.
No, and now the New York Times, you know, has actually written, you know, published something about that event and the, you know, their striking dismissal of a term that's very important and a concept that you don't introduce a woman by an honorific or whatever they call it that represents her marital status.
Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate this.
Thank you for sharing your part in the history, too.
Well,
because, it's valuable for me, and it's just, moving to know that you were there and that it really happened.
Yes.
Not just in my photograph.
Diana Henry will be the guest tomorrow night of the Photographic Society of Northwest Arkansas. It's part of their Distinguished Photographer Series. We spoke with her Friday afternoon. The talk begins at 7 tomorrow night. You can learn more about it, including how to register, at the webpage for the Photographic Society of Northwest Arkansas. That's psnwa.org. psnwa.org. And there's more from our conversation. We'll hear more on our Sunday show, Weekend Ozarks at Large, Sunday morning at 9 on 91.3 KUAF.